So yeah, it was just a really good opportunity to come here. Really cool opportunity to be a part of the Comets. Everything Miles told me about the club and the conference, I was really excited about and thought, why not test it out? I've got some friends that play in the East. They have nothing but great things to say about it. So
welcome to Shooting the Breeze, and we are live this Anzac Day from Comet Stadium at Alexandria here in Sydney. It's round four of the NBL One coming up. And joining us today, we've got Chantal Horvat and Kiara Levi.
Hello, hello.
How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you for having me.
No, it's great to have you both here. It's obviously back-to-back for Comets after you played against Bankstown last night. Unfortunately, it wasn't a winning result. But, you know, you're coming up again today. It's a tough call. It's up against the North Bears at 2 p.m., so that's in another 1.25 hours. I want to give a shout-out to any Comets North listeners who are on at the moment. And, obviously, we also want to give a shout-out to all the Australian service personnel here on this special Anzac Day. And just one more thing to add. Shooting the Breeze turned 6 yesterday. We did our first podcast on the 24th of April 2020, and we'd like to thank all our listeners and supporters for providing us all of your support over the last 6 years. So now that we got all that intro stuff out of the way, it's going to be an interesting game today, I think. You know, with unbeaten, the North Bears, 5-0. As soon as you get below those first few teams on the ladder in the NBL One East, it starts to get jammed up really quick. It's a bit reminiscent of the last WNBL season where it really got jammed up in the middle. I think there's 6 teams that are probably within, you know, a couple of games one way or the other, and the whole ladder could change. So, Chantal, from your perspective, there's a lot of things I want to talk to you about in relation to NBL One. But first of all, I want to find out from your perspective all about, you know, why you came to NBL One East, because, you know, it is the youngest of the conferences, but there's been a lot of growth here. And from a player's perspective, how do you see East?
It's been incredible. I've really enjoyed my time here so far. Besides the finger injury, that was the only hiccup. But prior to that, I was so happy about the move. And look, in all honesty, it was a real mixed bag of reasons why I came up here. Miles was obviously my coach with the Townsville Fire.
Yep.
So we were chatting early about it. I've always wanted to live in Sydney. I have family up here that I really wanted to spend some extra time with. And one of my close friends from college, we were roommates. She's from New York and she's here for 1 year as well, working over here. That's so awesome. I was like, you know what? It's a good time. I said I wanted to do Sydney at some point. And when I was a little girl, I wanted to live in like every capital city in Australia and play for every WNBL team. Now that I'm a little older, I realize how hard that actually is to do, and probably not going to happen, especially now that it's all around the world that we can play. So yeah, it was just a really good opportunity to come here. Really cool opportunity to be a part of the Comets. Everything Miles told me about the club and the conference, I was really excited about and thought, why not test it out? I've got some friends that play in the East. They have nothing but great things to say about it. So they were also in my ear trying to get me up here. And like I said, it was the best decision I've had. A great time, minus the last 2 weeks with this finger, but that's okay. We're on the mend and we'll be back to love and life up here very soon.
Awesome. So you've come up to Sydney. I'm really curious, what do you find is the best part of Sydney?
Or
at least so far.
I really love that you get a bit of everything. You can go to the beach. You can be in the city in 15 minutes. We were finding when we first came up here that we were just doing so much with our day. I would go to the gym in the morning and then go and shoot, and then we'd hit the beach for a couple hours, go home, make food. Then I'd be at team training later that night, and we were just fitting so much into our days because where we were situated, and living, it was really easy to get everywhere. So I really enjoyed that. I love adventuring, exploring. So that's been fun, sort of finding little nooks of Sydney that I really enjoy being in. But yeah, no, it's been awesome.
So I'm assuming that you're reasonably close by to Comets.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, you've kind of hit this whole area, which is kind of a foodie area.
Yeah. We've eaten very well. Yeah. We've been eating very well.
So let me, I've got to ask, had a chance to try Messina?
Yes, I have. Yeah. But there are Messinas in Melbourne. So yeah. Melbourne was the first time I tried Messina. Then there was one in Canberra. So we'd frequent that when I was playing there. But no, I haven't been to the one in Sydney, but I'm sure it's great.
Yeah, well, it's not far from here, and the factory's not far from here either.
Oh, okay.
It's like 10 minutes away, Rosebery.
Yeah.
It's a whole store.
Oh, wow.
Yep. And we also got a distillery.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, close. Again, it's close to...
yeah, very close, yeah.
Archie Rose for gin and whiskey.
Oh, okay.
So...
I don't know if I'll be frequenting that too often, you know, being the good little athlete that I am.
There's a really good French bakery in the same place too.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Frenchies. It's literally called, yeah, Frenchies.
Yeah, Frenchies.
I live close by, so I know it.
Yeah,
I
yeah,
love
yeah,
croissants, yeah. So I might have to try their croissants.
Yeah, their stuff's really good. So, yeah, it's good. You're enjoying Sydney. You're getting out and about. I'm kind of curious also to find out, you know, from you, how you found the last WNBL season. I mean, obviously you walked away with a chip and you came through with what is arguably the clutch play.
I would argue that Mila came through with that clutch play.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, fair call. But, you know, you had a bit to do with it. I'm really curious. How did you guys feel, first of all, when you got the ball and then when Mila drilled it?
Oh, it was just, gosh, you can't even describe the feeling. Also in the moment, you're just so locked in on what you have to do. You're not even thinking about anything. You're not letting any kind of emotions get in the way. But I know when that shot went through the hoop and we were going into overtime, I just thought, we're not losing this game. And I just, you know, in my head, I was like, I need to do everything that I can do to help us, you know, in my capacity to win this game, because that was like a play from the basketball gods and we need to reward them with a win and a championship. So it was incredibly special, and it makes it even sweeter, like having a game like that. No one wants to win a championship on a blowout. So Perth are an incredible team. We're an incredible team. So it was just awesome going head to head with them and having a real nail biter of a grand final. There was, I think, 41 lead changes in the game. Yeah, which I think is record breaking for a WNBL final. So it really was a spectacle, and just to finish it off like that was incredible. And man, Mila, she's incredible. She's incredible. But as soon as it left her hands, I knew it was going in, and just had that belief that she's knocking this down.
Yeah, look, we were watching on TV, and sometimes you just know.
Yeah.
As soon as it leaves the hands, you just know that, that there's no way that one's going to miss. And you could tell that was that was all the way through.
Yeah.
It was the end to a really great season. I think this past WNBL season has been one of the best we've had for a long time, certainly one of the tightest. It could have gone any way for a lot of the teams. How did you guys? I mean, you know, you're up at the pointy end for most of it, but it kind of bounced around. How do you guys, as a team, ride those ups and downs?
Yeah, we just tried to stay steady. You know, you set goals and values and things that we want to be known by as a team early in preseason. So no matter what happens, wins or losses, we can look back and go, hey, did we play harder than the other team? Did we lock into the scout? Did we, you know, do X, Y, and Z that is true to the character of our team? And I think that anchors us throughout the highs and lows. And it's a process. Seasons are long. There's a lot to learn along the way. And so, yeah, there was a lot that was anchoring us to the character of our team that kept us steady even through the injuries and ups and downs, because we weren't without them. I mean, I was out for 6 weeks with the broken hand. Woody was out for, I think, 3 weeks with the hamstring, and we lost Lauren Cox to the knee injury, you know, on New Year's Eve, I think it was. So it really was a season that had everything, highs, lows, in-betweens. But, yeah, we just had this chemistry from the start that you couldn't break, which was incredible. And yeah, so it was just made it so sweet to finish with a ring.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. And I'm sure there were maybe a few sore heads the next morning.
I will not reveal.
You're a real one.
Now, I was doing a little bit of reading for the podcast, and I was really interested in a quote that was assigned to you, which was about, you know, what would be the college that you would have been most disappointed by if they didn't talk to you and you came back with UCLA? Mm. Why?
That is a great question. I think I really struggled when I was being recruited and making a decision. I had friends at other colleges that were recruiting me, you know, saying, come here, you know, come join me, which is always appealing because they're your friends. Then I was really fortunate to have some big schools as well enter the mix. And at the time, you know, you're so honored. You know, if UConn calls you, you're like, I remember receiving that call and just crying because I was like so grateful. But I knew in my heart I didn't want to go to UConn. But anyway, at that time, it gets really confusing. Yeah, I was very fortunate to have good options, but someone gave me the advice when I was struggling to cut down my list. I don't even think I cut down my list of visits yet. And they were like, what school would you be the most disappointed in if they all of a sudden lost interest in you and didn't want to recruit you anymore? And I just said UCLA.
That's
straight away.
Great question.
Straight away.
Wow.
I think I verbally committed that day. We're also like doing year 12. I was, you know, living at the AIS. It was very busy. You know, we had really busy schedules, really busy training and playing schedules, and you're trying to complete high school. So I'm also horrible on my phone, so I really didn't enjoy the whole recruiting process and calls and everything. I remember Coach Corey said, we didn't even think you were going to commit because half the time you didn't answer phone calls. I was like, sorry, I was busy being a kid, you know. But, yeah, that was really it for me. I think I knew in my heart that UCLA had everything. I also wanted to go somewhere where I'd get a great education, so that was a big one for me. I know degrees aren't often easy to transfer to Australia depending on what you do. So I really wanted the university to be known so that when I do come back and look for work, it's, you know, known and looks good. And obviously the basketball side was another thing. I liked what they were doing. I'd watched how they were playing at the time. They had some incredible players. I was loving watching Jordan Canada at the time and thinking, wow, it'd be really cool to play with her. And also it's just their holistic approach to helping you grow as a woman, as an athlete, as a student. You know, it wasn't all about the basketball. It was about how they are investing in you as a person on and off the court, the opportunities that they provide for you outside of basketball. And you really got the whole package at UCLA. And I know a lot of colleges sell you one story and then you rock up and you get another. At the time, I didn't know if that was going to be the case for me, but I got there and it was absolutely the case. Like everything that they had promised that they would do, they did and they delivered, and they really do care about you as a person first, basketball is second. So it was just an incredible experience. I mean, I spent 5 years there, you know.
Wow, you did all five.
I did four and then took a, I had a redshirt year, the year that I was injured, and I took that one. Even considered taking my COVID year.
That's
which
amazing.
Would have been a sixth year. So,
wow.
But it was time for me to move on, but I did consider it when they asked and I was like, well, I do love it here. But yeah, no, it was incredible. Can't speak highly enough of that program, of the people involved. And it's just so incredible that they've now finally won a national championship. I was absolutely elated for them watching that game, and they deserve it. The team deserves it. And it's just such an incredible achievement And I even just love the way Corey Close has just spoken about the journey of getting here as well in all of her interviews. I don't know if you've listened to it, but she's just such an inspiration. So it's really cool, and I'm so happy for everyone involved.
Yeah, I think it's quite a few years ago, UCLA came out here and played a preseason game against the Flames.
Yeah, that was the year before I went there, I think.
Okay.
Or 2 years before I went there, I think.
Yeah, and I remember watching Coach Coral doing her thing on the sideline. You know, she gets, I'll call it animated.
Yeah, she does. She does. She does. She gets fiery. She gets that white line fever, and she'll get into you. But, you know, you have that foundation that she cares about you as a human. And so if she yells at you, you know, it kind of doesn't sting as bad because, you know, she's going to hug you later on in the evening and tell you she loves you.
So, I mean, I'm guessing you watched that game live. How does it feel knowing that, you know, the coach through your career got the school their first NCAA championship?
It's incredible. I'm so happy for them and everyone involved, and she pours her heart into that program, and this is the fruit of her labor. And I mean, when I was there, we had some really great teams. The best we ever did was get to the Elite Eight, and it felt like, you know, we were always pushing. Another year it was Sweet 16, and we were always pushing for that, but never quite there yet. So it's really cool to have finally, she's reaping, you know, the seeds of her labor.
Yeah. And Kiara, I mean, you went through a college program as well.
Yes, I did.
So, you know, I'm kind of curious to also hear, you've heard Chantel talk about her college, a bit about her college experience. How was your college experience like? Oh, okay. We went to-
let's just say it was very interesting. So I actually did it a little differently. I did junior college. So out of juniors, it was really interesting. So I'd played New South Wales Metro. I actually played against Chantel back in the day.
Okay.
But, you know, I always remember going, we were like, oh, God, she's so good. How do we stop her? Anyway, it was really cool. Long story short, all my good girlfriends that were in my team went Division One, and at that point in time, I just didn't have the classes to go Division One. I was talking to some schools, but instead – I did the junior college route because I was still like, that's my dream and I'll just find another way. So I'm a massive advocate for the junior college route. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yep.
Sometimes we take different paths.
Sure.
Thank you. Overall, it was a great opportunity. I played 2 years of junior college. Then I went and worked, I went to a school called Queen's University of Charlotte in North Carolina. We were Division II at the time. Which are now Division One. They just made the men's team, just made the NCAA tournament.
Okay.
But look, overall, it was a great opportunity to learn about the big world and, you know, live away from mum and dad. And I'm such a firm believer in if any young lady or young player has a dream to go try it out because we're so lucky to come back to this beautiful country. So go follow your dreams. And if it doesn't go the way you thought, we have such a great opportunity to still be here in Australia and come back. So, yeah.
I could not agree more with that. That's the advice I always give. You can always come back home.
Yeah, we're so fortunate.
We are fortunate. Just go try it out. See, you'll grow as a person regardless whether it's the right situation or not, and you always get the opportunity to come home, thankfully.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think one of the things a lot of people sort of look at in relation to the whole college experience in the US is that – There is a real business aspect to it.
Now with the NIL, glad I'm old that I had nothing to do with that. Oh, my gosh. Were you there with the NIL?
It came in the year after I left, I think, yeah. But I think it was only for Americans, and then the year after that, it opened up for internationals, I think.
Okay.
It took a little while for the internationals to be able to take part in it. But yeah, it's a whole different world now. Yeah. It's incredible. But also really cool because now people are getting paid. And
absolutely.
It really is like a professional schedule. Like there's not a lot of difference between some of my pro teams that I've been on and the schedule that we have. And the schedule that I had in college, plus you're trying to graduate and get a university degree.
Absolutely.
That's actually a good point. I'm curious. What did you study?
I studied, I did a BA in geography and environmental studies and a minor in anthropology.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Cool.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Put a lot of broad interests. That taps into a lot of them.
We love that. Humans first, people.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. It's cool to care.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it's, we've talked to a lot of people who've gone through college and it's typically around, you know, sports science, sports medicine, right? But that's a really completely different field. What attracted you to it?
That's a great question. I actually started in business economics.
Okay.
And I really didn't know what I wanted to do when I went over there. And I had cousins that had studied that were, you know, working sexy jobs. And I thought, you know, I had people in my ear going, you should do that, you should do that. And you start to figure out as well along this journey who you are as a person and what you really care about. And I think that's really important when deciding on what you want to study. I just figured out what I really care about, and that's people and the environment. So it was an easy switch because I was taking all the classes in that department anyway.
Yeah.
Because I was just interested in them and they were just filling my electives. So actually when I made the switch, I'd already done so many classes and then I never looked back. It was a no-brainer. And look, I don't exactly know what I want to do after basketball. So that's what I'm trying to figure out as I'm playing now, but I know what I care about and I know what I love learning about, and so that was a really fun degree for me and loved every second of it.
Cool. So I just want to go back to something that Kiara mentioned, right?
Ooh.
You guys played against each other.
She wouldn't remember me.
No, not true. I never forget a face.
Oh, girl.
So, you know, it's like one of the things that's really good about Australian basketball is that you definitely get to come across people at different phases of your career.
Absolutely.
When you look back at your career, and this is to both of you, have there been players that you played against where you kind of went, yeah, I'm really curious to see where they're going to end up?
Yeah, this lady right next to me. Between you and Anna Lee Maley, I remember when we were doing scout, I just was always, because I'm like 5 foot nothing, right? And like, I just remember going, I can't wait. It was you two. I think there was Alana Smith as well 1 year. I think I'm a year older than you. But basically, Victoria Metro in general, that era, 2014, I was like, I can't wait to see where these ladies go. And Christy Wallace. You. I'm a fangirl.
All incredible players.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry to cut you off, but I have to jump in there.
Yeah, no, that's good. I mean, you know, you've rattled off some big names.
Yeah.
And I suppose, you know, one of the things that's, again, it comes back, it's really interesting about Australian basketball is you say those names and you kind of go, wow, they actually played like, you know, Vic Metro, they played. And that's something really different here in Australia to, I think, pretty much anywhere else in the world. It's that mix of players and talent that you get to see at such a junior level. And you get to see the competition at Metro level and, you know, having seen the development pathways in the US, for example, what do you think is the biggest difference between there and here in terms of the sort of like that younger talent coming up and then getting into the college space?
Yeah, we have incredible pathways for junior athletes that look different. There's a lot of different pathways that you can take, which is really awesome. And I would say, I think the biggest difference is we start to play against women from a younger age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that really prepares you well for going to college. I know when I was a junior, we didn't have NBL 1. I think NBL 1 is actually even better for pathways because there's so many teams, there's different conferences. So if you're not quite there yet to make like a CBL team back when it was CBL, at least you've got a lot more opportunity now. With the way NBL 1 is set up. But yeah, when I was growing up, it was C-ball. So I started playing C-ball when I was 14.
Wow.
And I was like, holy smokes, I am so little. And these women are so strong and scary. Oh my gosh. But it was incredible for me. I just had so much growth and it's put me in a really good position. Then when I went to the AIS at 15, I'd already had a year of playing against people that were older than me. And really the training. The training is where you get the most benefit, because as a young player, you're not playing a lot on court. And I was really fortunate to be a part of the Geelong Supercats, who were very strong and had some incredible players back then. So that was really good for my development. And then continuing to play C-ball when I was at the AIS was also great, along with, you know, the Junior Vic Country Pathways and MPP and all that as well. Put me in a really good position when I first came to college. I mean, some of the girls hadn't even lifted in a gym when I got there. So there were a lot of things that really benefited me from growing up and playing here in Australia when I got over there.
Okay. So I want to touch on something you just mentioned. Who was, when you're playing C-ball, right? And this is to both of you, your junior careers, who was the scariest person you had to match up against?
That I had to match up against?
Yeah.
That's a great question. Gosh, I can tell you some scary ones now from this past season, but from when I was a junior, I just remember getting beaten up at training by this Smash one player in particular, Candace Rogers. She was just so strong. She was our four, and just her in particular, I remember going up against, and it was great for me. It helped me develop so much, and she was an incredible player, so... but that's the scariest matchup. Now, that would be a tough one to remember from those games.
Okay, so who's been your scariest matchup, just full stop, across the board?
Full stop? Or that's a tough one. Well, the one that came to mind first was Hanzu. Obviously, from this past season, just massive height difference. So when we were in foul trouble and I was in playing the five and trying to get her out the key, that was tough. I mean, I'm really fortunate to have been able to match up against some incredible players here in the WNBL and overseas in college. I mean, on my team at UCLA, I had Jordan Canada, Monique Billings, Michaela Onyewede, Kennedy Burke.
Wow.
Played with some really incredible players there. Then, I mean, we were playing against Oregon all the time. So you've got Sabrina and Satu Sabali.
Yeah.
Wow, then, what an era.
Yeah, when I was overseas, my first year, it was like Alicia Clark was a tough matchup, and Shakira Austin, Azaree Stevens, you know, a lot of WNBA players you come across over there. So, I mean, yeah, I couldn't tell you who the scariest matchup has been. Oh, actually, there was one game when we played. All these names are now popping into my head. Tierra McCowan. I just remember that was a crazy game. Both our fives were in foul trouble, and I was playing the 3-4 on this team. And then all of a sudden, I'm in the five guarding Tierra McCowan, and my head is at her armpit. So you know, you just do what you can in those situations to be annoying and
find a way.
You got to find a way. So yeah, I mean, it's been cool. That's the really cool thing about basketball, is it, you know, it takes you all around the world. You get to match up against incredible people. I mean, even training camp, NECA, you know, having to guard NECA. And then also with a lot of teams, what they do with me, because I do play guard and post positions, is they switch. So often it's not just guarding these players, it's also guarding the point guards. And then you've got to switch on Ari McDonald, who is so quick.
Yeah.
You know, but I love the challenge of it. I love when I get to match up a bit against incredible players. It's just another opportunity to get better, to learn and grow from these experiences. So it's really cool.
So, Kiara, what about you? There must be someone that you just kind of sit back and go, wow, I can't believe I just matched up against them.
That's a long time ago, Paul. That's very long time ago. You know what? I think there's no one in particular. I think that for me, you know, obviously I haven't been up to the exact same level. But, like, regardless, I think that just playing in the game and any opponent, really, I think, you know, they're all challenges. And I have white line fever, so I guess sometimes I don't even see the face. I just see a number in a jersey and I go from there. So that's my answer.
Okay. All right. That's cool.
I feel like I completely forgot to shout out all the incredible Aussies that I've matched up against. Yeah. Without going international players, but, like, we have such incredible homegrown talent that obviously I've matched up with since I was a junior, so I have to give them a shout out as well.
Yeah, I suppose that's one of the things about Australia. We just have such a huge depth of talent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a lot of people realize exactly how much talent we've got, and it's coming up through the ranks as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for a country of our size, the way we rank internationally is pretty spectacular.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I'm kind of, you know, and I wanted to find out something. How did it feel the first time you pulled on the Australian jersey at Opal's level?
Oh, it was incredible. Yeah, I'd worn it before at the junior level. But there's nothing that prepares you for the feeling of putting it on at the senior level. And it really came to me at a time where I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't expecting the call up from Sandy when I was overseas to say that I was in the squad and that, you know, and then made the team. So it was incredible. And it was so cool to be able to play here in Sydney. My family came up. I had friends and family in the stands. And it was just so special. I received that jersey and just instant waterworks. You know, you work so hard for so long, and sometimes they say burn your goals because, yeah, I mean, you know, there's all these things that people say because the journey always looks different, and, you know, focus on the journey. But then when you are rewarded with these, well, not rewarded, but given this opportunity.
It's a reward for hard work. Absolutely.
That was, you know, a goal when you're a little girl. It is so special. So it was an incredible, incredible experience.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
That's phenomenal, honestly. It's so
thank
cool.
you.
Yeah,
hopefully would love to do it again.
Look, you know, over the years we've met a lot of people who've pulled on that green and gold jersey, and I think one of the things that I've always found really interesting and common to everybody is, and I mean it's common to a lot of athletes, but there's this other level to this quiet confidence that you have to be able to sort of play at that level. And also there's this ability, you see it when the game's being played, you just the switch goes off in your head. And you just step up to this whole other level. You see it happen, and you see it happen more often at the Opal level. And I wonder, you know, how you found that whole thing with the, you know, the Opal's values, right? How does that feel, and how does that help you kind of take that to the floor when you're playing as an Opal?
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear when you come in what the values are, and that, you know, you've been selected to be a part of this team. You must adhere to them and do your best to play like yourself within that and within the role you're given as well. I'm so sorry. I've forgotten the question. What is
story of my life?
Yeah, literally.
It's all about
every time I'm on a podcast.
Story of my life.
it's all about, you know, the Opal's values, you know, and translating that into on court performance.
Yeah, I mean, you just do it. You know, you're there. It's an honor to put the green and gold on, and you don't want to step outside of those values because it's not what it's about. And if you don't align with that, you won't be there. So yeah, you try your best to give everything that you can while you've got that jersey on and play your basketball at the same time as doing whatever the team needs of you, because your role will look different when you're on the Opals compared to when, you know, you're playing for the Comets or when you're playing for your WNBL team, and your role changes with every team that you're on. So, it's always just trying to do your best and represent the Opals as best as you can.
I don't think anybody who sits outside really understands the impact those Opals values have. We only ever really got that impact, and it's only part of it, when we had Michelle Timms on, and she went through, like, she literally rattled off every one of the Opals values. She just went through bang, 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 to the point where we would, like, she finished going through it and we were, like, silent because of the way, you know, the emotion and the intensity that she brought across. It was like she actually turned around and said, "Are you guys still there?"
I think it's also something that's anchored every Opals team throughout the years, and it's also what we're, like, now known for around the world too, because it, like, comes out in our play, not just what we say we're going to do, but we go and do it and we live it, and it's what we've been known for a long time, and we've got a reputation internationally, and we've got to keep that going.
And I want to get back onto the NBL one, because we've got a game coming up in about 40 minutes. It's going to be a great game to watch. So I'm kind of curious to understand from both your perspectives how you've found the NBL one to have grown and changed as you've watched it over the, you know, over the years as it's developed.
I've actually only been a part of it for a few years because it started when I was in college.
Yeah.
So I think the first 3 or 4 years was when I was overseas, and then I went straight to Europe from college and then played my first season with Geelong United 3 years ago.
So 23.
Yeah, and then I also had last off-season off. So I haven't actually played that many seasons in the NBL one. So I don't think I could adequately answer your question.
Okay. So, Kiara?
Being part of, you know, Comet's front office, we're heading into our fourth year, I believe.
Yep.
Apologies if I'm wrong. But over the years, what I've seen is it's been really cool to see a lot of our, you know, international talent like yourself, Chantel, come back and play in these leagues. I think that, you know, it also helps our homegrown talent. I think that it helps having the presence of such phenomenal, you know, athletes of your caliber coming back and playing in these conferences. Really, it gives the league and the nation exposure. And it just gives, yeah, other opportunities for our homegrown talent that, you know, one day are, you know, wanting to do the UCLAs and be an Opal. Oh, like, I get to play against, you know, a current Opal. This is what it's like, you know. So I think that it's really developed over the years, and it's amazing to see such high-caliber players and people come back into these spaces and give back to our country as well.
So as we sort of get to the point where we're wrapping up this podcast, a couple of things. First of all, I mean, look, you're stepping up against arguably one of the strongest teams in the league. What do Comets have to do to be able to get the W?
You know what? If you watched last night's game, I was so proud of the girls. I think that was our best four quarters of basketball that we've put together. Obviously, we didn't get the win, but we really showed the team that we're growing into, and we've had pieces come in late. I came in late. Miles came in late. So we're still trying to figure out that team chemistry and how we can work together on the court. But I just love how hard we played, and I think we've got to bring that today. Norths are a great team. They've got a lot of star power. So we need to play harder than them. We need to lock into the scout. We need to stop their shooters, rebound the ball. That's been a major emphasis for us. And just be aggressive on offense and confident. Let the game last night give us confidence. And yeah.
Kiara?
Literally what you said, you know, watching the game last night, it was really awesome to see the group really evolve. I thought it was really, you know, great to see other people on the bench step up and buy in and really contribute to the game. So I think that riding that momentum and having that one game throughout a season is so important and vital, because then, you know, it kind of brings a sense of empowerment where the team's like, yeah, we can do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're here, you know. So I think I'm really excited to see not so much more North, but us as a Comets collective ride that momentum. Yeah. So
And we just, I just see us getting better every game, people getting more confident. So it's really cool to watch, and I'm just itching to get back out there with the girls. So it's going to be a great game today, but I have full faith in them, and I'm really excited for it. It's been a big weekend of games, and it's going to be a good one today.
Great. And, I mean, I've got to give a shout-out to a few of our previous pod guests that are on North Bears, Dizzy Morgan, Jazz Shelley, obviously, Coach Renee Garlop, and got to remind everybody, you can catch the game broadcast on the NBL One app.
They do a great job.
Yeah, and I'm really kind of interested to see how, as I said, friend of the podcast, M. Simons, who's playing on the team, is going to step up, because I was looking at some of her stats. She's also doing some good stuff for someone who really, you know, has kind of stepped back from that frontline career as well.
Yeah.
Guys, thanks so much for your time. It's been great. Looking forward to the tip-off not too far from now. And, thanks so much for joining us on this live Shooting the Breeze.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, happy birthday to the pod.
Great. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you get our latest pod. And we really appreciate if we could get a like and a review so we can extend the reach to more listeners. And don't forget, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.